The following podcast is a presentation of Spectrum One, online and on demand at SpectrumOne.net. The following Spectrum One podcast may contain language that some may find offensive. Listener discretion is advised.
For over 10 years, and almost 500 episodes, the NAWC, always on.
Welcome to another episode of the NAWC as sponsored by the Freaking Awesome Network. My name is Jason Block. The reason why it sounds so damn unprofessional is because Nikki Haymon is away this week. She's dealing with some personal issues, but she will be back next week. Got an old friend, couple of old friends with me. First of all, from Tuesday Night Typho, who should be getting his ass off of VTR and back here, the one and only Mr. Tyler Foster. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. It is great to be back and great to be here, as always. Mm-hmm. And I'm ready to go tonight.
Bet you are. And, of course, Shane Beeman will be here a little later. Chief High Bunkety Muck, are you there, too?
Where?
Yeah, there you are. How are you, sir? Yeah, that good. So let's start with something that happened, which was a real rarity, and I should have been there to see it, but I wasn't. This past Friday at Madison Square Garden, at a house show of all things, we had a major title change. Kevin Owens, who was the United States champ, lost his title to AJ Styles at a house show. Now, Carl, this was a pretty rare occurrence, wasn't it?
Wasn't this, I think, the second time AJ's been there in MSG, or the first?
Second.
Yeah. Well, obviously, which will lead to later on another program coming up for AJ. I think this is why they made the hot switch early.
Well, there were rumors that Owens was injured. Typho, pretty cool, no, that they actually did a title change to the house show?
It is. It feeds into that unpredictability that you want when you're at a show or going to a show or considering going to a show where you think, maybe I'll see something special. But usually when you go into a house show, you know you're probably going to get the normal fare and nothing special is really going to happen. But it's Madison Square Garden for one, so you know they're going to try to probably do something, but you don't necessarily expect the title switch, but it is cool when it happens, and it was fun, I'm sure, for the fans there to see AJ Styles win the U.S. title.
It was, you know what, I'm really happy that the fans got to see it, which was great, and very, 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 very cool that AJ wins his second major title at a house show at Madison Square Garden. He's now a WWE champ and a U.S. champ in the span of, what, 18 months? Not bad. Not a bad deal for a TNA alum. He'll do all right. But speaking of a TNA alum, now, I don't know how much we want to talk about the Alberto Page situation, except for the fact that Alberto Del Rio has been suspended from Global Force Wrestling in the fact that there was another domestic violence incident between Paige and Alberto. Pretty sad situation, no? Just overall?
Yeah, it's a mess.
It's an absolute mess.
And I think we found out that a little bit of a white powder substance was involved this time, too.
I don't think we will ever see Paige on a TV again because, well, we've got enough women to replace her. We'll talk about that a little later. Okay. But before we get into the pay-per-view, which, Typho, you said you were at live, correct? You were at Great Balls of Fire?
I was there. Yes, indeed.
Okay. Did any of you three see the absolutely amazing documentary of Kurt Angle, Homecoming? Have you seen that yet?
I just watched it today, as a matter of fact, yes.
I saw it Tuesday when I got home.
How amazing was that? It was really good.
It was well told, especially around the time where he talked about his struggles in 06.
When he was just an angry addict, pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much, around the ECW reboot.
Yeah. But out of all the amazing things in that documentary, and there were a lot of them, okay, because you notice that they talked about TNA without either mentioning TNA or showing TNA, because they had two people now on the WWE roster who worked with him at TNA in the form of Samoa Joe and AJ Styles. Okay? So the most amazing thing is that we got a clip, not a clip, but an actual interview with one Dixie Carter. Okay? This is like Ghostbusters stuff, you know, dogs and cats living together, you know, right? Typho, pretty big stuff, I think.
Yeah, I think if you would have told me that Dixie Carter would be on a WWE program of any kind at any point in time, I would, one, have not believed you, two, have probably laughed at you, and three, just generally been confused. But there it is.
And if what I think is going to be is true, that might not be the first time we see her on a WWE television, correct? Does that make sense to you?
Concerning where Raw's going this week, maybe.
Maybe, potentially, possibly, all that sort of stuff.
It's been rumored.
The rumors are strong, folks, but we'll get to that in a minute. But we did have a pay-per-view last Sunday, and I want to get, Typho, your reaction to each match as I quickly talk about them. Because it was a very good show. But the booking at the end kind of left something to be desired, at least I thought. We open the show, yet again, with another cruiserweight match, with Tozawa losing to, Neville, I believe. And what happens here we go. But at least for the first time, Neville was shown to be a little vulnerable, don't you think?
He was quite a lot, actually, to the point where I know from my perspective in the crowd and around me, everybody was starting to pretty much accept probably Tozawa was about to win the title, but obviously not the case. But it's the first time, really, I feel like they've made somebody look really credible against Neville, because he's kind of just run through, with the exception of his series with Austin Aries, he's kind of just run through everybody, and you never really felt like anybody had much of a chance of taking the title.
Of course, this time around, you had a little bit of hope. In the main show, we start off with Wyatt beating Rollins with a thumb to the eye and his sister Abigail. It was an okay match. It was pretty good. Were you surprised that Big Cass squashed Enzo Amore even after the promo there was?
No.
No, not at all.
Okay.
There's a story on that, too, that we'll probably talk about after.
Ooh, you have a little story on that?
Yeah. If you want to wait and hold off until after we're done talking about the pay-per-view, we can.
No. Is it related to... What is it related to?
Backstage Heat.
Ooh, give me what you got, because I don't have this.
Okay. Apparently, Enzo's got the more of a heat than Cass. Cass has got heat for a different reason. And this has an RSBS tie-in, Jason.
Oh, really? What do you got?
He's a Trump supporter, just like the McMahons.
Enzo is?
No, Cass.
Okay.
Now, Enzo's heat is for something else. It's pretty much, involved in a tour bus incident several weeks ago with talent regarding business, and while this site hasn't been able to confirm the specifics of what went on, Roman Reigns kicked off Enzo off the bus, giving him what's called mistreatment. That means he wasn't able to dress in the locker room with the talent.
Mm-hmm.
Then, of course, that comes from, of course, our resident senior person, Mr. Meltzer and his crew.
Yeah, I'm looking
that
at
right
it.
There.
Yeah, well, I'm looking at it also from bleedingcool.com, actually. Mm-hmm. Same idea.
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
And no, actually, I called for a squash for this match.
Hmm.
If you saw the group post.
Interesting. Well, backstage heat. Interesting. Okay. Well, then we move on to the match of the night, in my personal opinion, which was the tag match, the 30-minute Iron Man match between Hardy, Cesaro, and Sheamus. Typho, your thoughts on that?
I thought, really, they did it pretty well. I really liked the immediate fall coming like right out of the gate.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like usually with these Iron Man matches, a lot of times they try to kind of play out the first fall too long. And then you get into that rapid fire mode where you don't have any falls for about 25 minutes. Then here comes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6.
It was
all in the span of about 30 seconds.
Yep.
And then the ending, I mean, you kind of could see where it was headed, but I still think they did pretty well with how they did the ending.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if only I didn't use a wild card on that. Damn. I had it going into overtime, but the falls, I got them right.
Mm-hmm.
I think my favorite point of the match was Matt Hardy bouncing. I think it was Cesaro's head off the buckle and getting a delete chant at each one.
Yeah. Well, there's a story on that too, actually. You know.
I'll just hold my thoughts until we get to that because I think it's going to happen sooner than most people think.
Mm-hmm. But go on. But yeah, it was. By the way, it was very, very well booked. Okay.
Yeah, that was a good match. And I believe it was the first time we saw a tag 30-minute Ironman match, right?
I think so. I could be wrong, but it's been very.
I couldn't think of any others.
Me either.
Nope. Alexa had a very good match with Sasha and lost by countout. The Miztourage helped Miz retain, but then we get to the two big matches of the night. Braun Strowman won the ambulance match by avoiding a flying spear as, you know, Roman drove into the crowd. Drove himself into the ambulance. However, afterwards, Roman decides to drive Braun out of the arena, and in an obvious jump cut, the editing was pretty bad, if you could tell, right, Carl?
Yeah.
It was pretty bad. You could tell you could tell when the pre-taped segment was.
Where's VRM when you need him to talk about bad editing?
Yes. It was pretty bad. And what happened is that Roman backed the ambulance into the truck at about 30, 40 miles an hour. Now, guys, he's the face? Really? He's the face?
Well, I mean, not only did he lose the match, but There was also an attempted vehicular homicide afterwards, but he'll get a title shot at SummerSlam nonetheless, I'm sure.
That's correct, yes, because, you know, Roman needs to look strong, as we all know. But, of course, Strowman comes out, and, you know, Strowman is like, I could do this on my own. And, of course, the makeup job was excellent, by the way. That was really good. That was really, really good.
I liked watching Jamie Noble trying to break into the ambulance and get him out.
Well, everyone said, you could drive the ambulance. The keys were still in there. Move the ambulance. You know, the logic was a little off. And by the way, Kurt Angle was great saying mouthing prayers and things like that. This was great. What was the crowd reaction to it?
On the actual finish of the match, of course, the crowd loved it because I'd say a good 75% were cheering for Strowman anyway. So he won the match. Everybody's excited. Then Roman comes popping back out and back to booze. Once we get into the everyone disappears and now we're in the back and backing things into trucks and cutting them out of the ambulance, everybody's kind of quiet just for the most part, and everyone's giving, I can hear people giving their speculation, like they're going to open it and Braun's not going to be there. In my mind, I'm like, well, he's not the Undertaker. He's not disappearing. He's either going to be in there and just pop out fine, or he'll be dead. I don't know. But once he did come crawling out and everything, there was like a standing ovation from the crowd when he just kind of wandered off by himself.
Then we get to the main event. Brock Lesnar defeated Samoa Joe in about 10 minutes. But the opening was hot because Mr. Heyman was introducing his client and Joe said, I have zero fucks to give, and decides to kick his ass and drove him through a table. The crowd went nuts. How pro Joe was the crowd?
It was pretty heavy. There were definitely a lot of Joe fans, and unless I've missed it somewhere, at least in his main roster run, this was the first time I can really remember a WWE crowd getting the Joe's gonna kill you chant going.
Okay. But unfortunately, Then the coquina clutch was on, but Lesnar slips through, F5, 1, 2, 3. Thoughts on that one, Typho? One F5, really? Took Roman 3.
Well, it's one of those things where it's good because, at least in this situation, you're making the finisher look strong, which is not done often at all in any match, because usually it takes 3, 4, 5, 6 before you can even think about it actually working. But in this case, worked on one, which in most cases it should, I think. But the crowd, of course, I don't want to say it was like 100% Joe, because there was definitely a pro Lesnar portion as well. But it seemed to be a good deal of disappointment that Joe didn't win the title. But, you know, kind of going in, I was really excited for the match, and I did like the match. But I knew, like obviously Brock's keeping the title, and they're not going to put it on Joe, especially with SummerSlam coming up. And
I thought that was the wrong call. I think Joe having it going into Brooklyn would have been the better call. And Lesnar chasing would have been fun. Okay?
It would be, yeah.
So Joe keeping Lesnar keeping the title, to me, was not a good move. But again, that's also my personal, you know, my personal.
Yeah, I see where you're getting at. Choice.
That's but my personal choice.
It's the wrong Samoan to take the title, so.
Yes, and the wrong Samoan is going to get a shot, which we'll talk about in a minute. What did you think of the two main events, Carl? The ambulance match and the main?
Well, for the ambulance match, like you said, the bad editing kind of like, eh. you could tell where the cut was. Main event, saw reports that Lesnar was impressed how well that Joe kept up with him physically. It was pretty good. Of course, I called for Lesnar to retain because I think he's going to lose it in Brooklyn.
To Roman?
Well, I don't know. Yeah, that might. That's still a little iffy to me. It should be Joe.
Yes, it should be
Joe. It should be Joe, but they still got the rocket on Roman.
I know, but we'll get to that in a, minute. I have some pick 'em results for you. And I'm just trying to see how many points there were.
I think he said 10.
10. Well, then we kind of sucked, actually. Because...
Let me make sure before you go on with that.
Yeah, just make sure.
Oh, 9 points, I'm sorry. And 10 well, is the wild
okay,
card.
Well, okay, well, one person sucked. One person didn't suck. The rest, not so much. At the bottom, Nikki, Brian, 4th, and Shane with 3. Okay?
Yes.
Oh, and by the way, the only people who had their wild cards play outs were myself, Cindy, and Nikki. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Chris Waters and Cindy Seidelman had 4. Myself, you, Carl, and Josh Henniger had 5. And the new solo Fizzleweight champion, at least for 2 weeks, Verm with 6. Got 6 out of 9. So he is the new champion.
Yeah, I thought it came very close because I knew it had some of the stuff play out.
You were close.
I think the wild card killed me.
Could be. So we moved to Monday Night Raw. And that was, I forget where it was. I think it was in Houston.
It was Houston, I believe.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So the segment of the night by far was Lesnar, Joe, and Reigns. Okay? Because Lesnar shows up and basically says, I won, you lost, Joe, screw you boys, I'm going home, okay? Roman Reigns comes out, which I'm very shocked that he even did, and I'm thinking, okay, he's not even getting punished for anything that he did. And then Joe comes out, and I love Angry Joe. Angry Joe is most awesome Joe, okay? Joe had 0 fucks to give. And he was like, I beat your ass. You survived me. You escaped me. I had your number. And then Angle was just like, all right. Angle was like, all right, great. We had a little continuity. He says, I shouldn't even give you a shot because of what you did. Okay. Which was nice. That was great. Okay. But we have Reigns, Joe, for the number one contender shot at SummerSlam on Monday night. I'm going to ask you guys, who do you have going against Lesnar at SummerSlam in Brooklyn?
Well, easy answer is Reigns, and I'd rather have Joe. But there will be, I'm sure, some kind of goofy finish, and we'll get a triple threat.
The goofy finish, let me ask you something. Goofy finish and triple threat is a better idea. No, Carl?
Yeah, or I would just have Joe and a rematch with Joe and Lesnar.
Mm-hmm.
For up to me.
Because Reigns Strowman one more time would be...
Probably more. Another gimmick match.
I don't know what you could do next. Falls count anywhere. No holds barred.
Punjabi prison.
No, well, that's coming. We're getting to that.
Just keep using it over and over again every week.
I know. Corey Graves gets another text and talks to Kurt Angle. And Kurt Angle, at the end of the show, said, look, I'm going to clear it all up. And he says, I love you and I'm proud of you. Now, normally, I would think it's Stephanie McMahon because of their past history. However, due to the the 24, the WWE 24 special. Has the WWE come to a working relationship with Dixie Carter? I ask you, Typho, first.
I mean, I guess it's possible, but the obvious question would be why, and who would care? Did they watch Impact? I mean, probably not, but if they did during her run as a heel character, you would probably know, maybe don't do that. But it's possible, sure, and it actually kind of looks like maybe that's where it goes. But, of course, I'm going to throw in still the why.
All right, Carl, I'll ask you why.
Well, brought it up earlier, considering where they're going Monday, which is Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
Headquarters for now known GFW.
Mm-hmm.
I think in Dixie, just on the Anthem board of directors now, she only owns like a very small piece of it.
Mm-hmm.
She's not running nothing, pretty much, so it wouldn't surprise me.
She does nothing, has no role. She just has a name attached somewhere down there at the very bottom.
But then again, your theory about Stephanie could come true. She's been off TV since, what, Mania?
Mm-hmm.
It might be time for her to come back in time for Slam.
Well, yeah, setting up maybe a Triple H angle match.
That's been rumored, too.
You know, basically saying, what are you doing diddling with my wife? So to speak.
Or how about the ultimate Vince Russo swerve? It's Karen Jarrett.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Lord.
So, but I'm asking you, who would you rather it be? I mean, put it to you this way. Could it be that rumored romantic story with Bailey?
I doubt it.
Okay.
We'll talk about what's potentially coming for Bailey for Slam as well.
Oh, okay. Let's do that in a minute. We also had Big Cass and Big Show getting into it a little bit, finally. Okay. Which, by the way, that match for SummerSlam is going to be two huge guys. And Big Show is going to put him over, sadly.
Yeah, if you saw the promo this week, I think Cass kind of got buried a little bit because of the heat that I talked about.
Okay.
That's just conspiracy theory, me talking, but could be, you know. I mean, there was one going around, why was Cass on TV and Enzo was not? Who had the bigger so-called heat?
Hmm. Then, of course, we have a little bit of a S.H.I.E.L.D. reunion, sort of, okay, because Wyatt beat Rollins again, but Dean makes the save at the end of the show when Rollins was beaten up by the Miz, and we had a little bit of a S.H.I.E.L.D. reunion. I like it. Gives Dean something to do. Gives Rollins something to do. You okay with that?
I mean, they're all three on the same show, so you can't not have them interact. And they're all three technically baby faces, I guess.
Sort of.
Yeah, how long has it been since that little switch? About a month or so? Mm-hmm. Or two? I'm surprised they haven't put them back together yet.
And they might as well, and Ambrose is really just doing nothing. I mean, he's had 900 matches with The Miz. Rollins just kind of floating around, doing Wyatt
doing
feud
the, do,
for
yeah,
some
doing,
reason.
Doing promo for his movie in WWE 2K18.
Roman Reigns is trying to murder people. And
yes, figuratively and otherwise, yes. You saw the response commercial to Kurt Angle because he's now the pre-order bonus for WWE 2K18. So that's kind of cool. But Carl, I have to ask, what do you think of the potential S.H.I.E.L.D. reunion?
Well, it wouldn't surprise me if they have that them facing The Miz and his entourage. That'd be kind of a downgrade, if you ask me.
So the club beat the Hardys, and then finally a new tag team for the Hardys to hang out with. The Revival are back. I like this.
Well, before you get to that, you got to talk about the promo beforehand, Dre.
You mean with Dean and Sean and Seth?
No, we're talking about the Hardy promo. Well, we got a few hints.
there have been a lot of hints. Because Matt has been using the words delightful and magnificent and other things.
But I think the key word in this promo, Jeff, said obsolete.
Aha. Uh-huh. Yes. But it's very interesting about that because according to... Hold on a second. According to Rebe... and I need to pull this
she
up.
She can't shut the tweet up, yes, her.
Yeah, she can't shut the tweet up, but there's something interesting about that. There has been a deal in place between Anthem Media and the Hardys that would allow the Hardys to utilize the Broken Hardy gimmick going forward, okay? And this is from PWI, all right? And this was from yesterday afternoon. Supposedly, Billy Corgan mediated the deal. All sides would have released a statement which each other well and would have agreed to no longer comment on each other publicly. The Hardys would have been able to utilize the Broken gimmick, and one would assume Anthem Media would receive some kind of payment. And WWE was not involved. Okay? It was drafted by the Hardys' lawyers and sent to the Anthem Medias to sign off on, but for some reason, several weeks have gone by without a response or any indication the agreement was going to be signed. One source says that when Norton received the agreement in writing, he claimed it wasn't what the two sides agreed upon, but confirmed since that point there's been no additional communication. The drafted agreement led to Matt Hardy's conference on Twitter. They were close to a resolution on the situation. At the time, Impact sources remained steadfast that the two sides were far apart as ever. While Nordholm could still technically sign off on the agreement, Jeff Jarrett's comments during his media conference call today, where he explicitly stated there had been no changes regarding the situation and that Anthem, as producers of Impact Wrestling, hold ownership of the gimmick, sparked Rebecca Hardy's latest social media comments, which I'll get to in a minute. A number of sources we spoke to today says unless Nordstrom signs off on the agreement, the Hardys will have no last recourse but to file a lawsuit seeking ownership of the gimmick. We spoke with one source today that believes the decisions made by the company during the time period Dixie Carter owned were technically breaches of the Hardys contract, which appears to be the strategy the family would use. So it's close. But not that close, per se. And the deal, she said, including non-disparagement to the tune of 5,000 every week, every time I tweeted something about TNA. So, in other words, there would have been a disparagement clause of five grand. So, I ask you, are we going to get the Broken gimmick?
Yes.
So, yes. Welcome back, Shane, by the way.
Yes, we are going to get the Broken gimmick, and it's going to be delightful.
Yes, delightful. Typho, you think we're going to get the Broken gimmick?
Eventually, yeah, we have to. I don't know how soon it will be, if this will be something that can happen quick. Or if they're going to just keep dragging it out and dragging it out and dragging it out. But hopefully it happens soon. Because one of my things before the Hardys actually came back was, yeah, I'd love to have them back in WWE. But I'm not interested in a nostalgia Hardy Boys run, which is what we're getting. Because I loved the Broken character so much that, I mean, that's what they are now to me. That's what they need to be. It's their characters. They did probably 90% of the work on it. Let them have their characters. It belongs to them.
They'll get there. Money will be exchanged.
Well, the way Jeff Jarrett made it sound, on his on his interview that he did with Wrestling Inc., like apparently there's no beef between him and Jeff Hardy. Him and Jeff Hardy have an amazing relationship. So apparently, if you read into that, the whole issue is between Jeff, Matt, and Rebby.
Go ahead.
So basically, it's all about if maybe Jeff Hardy gives him a call and says, "Look, dude, we need to put this to bed. Like, me and you have been friends for 20 years. Our families go on vacations together. Like, it's time we put this shit to rest because it's costing your company money, and you know Vince has got a shitload. So let's just get this sorted."
Well, Jeff Jarrett and Hurricane Helms will not be exchanging Christmas cards. He said on Twitter the other day he would rather climb a tree to tell a lie than to stay on the ground and tell the truth, because the decision to part ways with Shane Helms was strictly financial because they had too many agents. Oh, damn. Wow.
Yeah, in other words, Helms is saying, bullshit!
They don't have any agents. They fired all their agents.
Yeah.
Their agents are guys that are having matches on the shows like Sanjay Dutt and Abyss. Those are their agents. And probably Jeff Jarrett.
Yeah, it's a mess.
It's a mess over there. It's definitely a mess over there. Back to our side of the floor here. Bayley got a pin during she pinned a Bliss during the tag match. Now, what plans do they have for her at SummerSlam? Because it was a pretty shock win given the way they've been booking her over the last few months.
She won a match.
Yeah, she got the win for her team on Raw, and there's a rumor going around. So take it with a grain of salt, people. But plans for SummerSlam are it's going to be Bayley versus Nia Jax versus Sasha Banks versus Alexa Bliss in a fatal four-way for the title.
Yeah, I'll take that.
Instead of the Jax and Bliss singles matches they were trying to go with.
Let me tell you something. Jax is still greener than Kermit the Frog. I'm not wrong on that. Sorry.
Kermit the Frog here.
She's getting better. Like I've noticed that she's getting better. Let's face facts here. She hasn't injured anybody like other green turds that we've seen.
Goldberg.
Yes, Goldberg. Yes. Okay. No, she's sorry. Not. But now before we get to SmackDown, we were talking about women. And tonight is a very important night in the company in the women's division.
Oh, have I missed the important topic already? The one that I was going to go on a tangent on. I'm like,
which is what?
Del Rio Page situation. I was going
to. Oh, if you want to go into that, we can go back to that a little bit.
No. I want to talk about a positive future first, rather than a negative future.
Well, okay. The Mae Young Classic is taping tonight as we speak. Mm-hmm. Before we even get to who's wrestling, wow, we've got a Ronda Rousey sighting. Because one of the competitors what's her name? The woman who is her friend?
Shayna Baszler.
Okay.
She's one of the four horsewomen.
Mm-hmm. Then also Charlotte Flair is sitting ringside. Danny Garcia is there. Okay. The Rock's ex-wife, etc.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you want to give your voice a rest, I got to run down the 32 here.
Yeah, if you could do that for me, please. And I do have some spoilers eventually. For the first episodes. when we have a chance. Just give me a second, and let me get some water, and you run down the ladies. I'll be back.
Okay. Shane talked about this earlier. We had a former Knockouts champion in the name Maya Yim, who used to be Jade back in Impact. That's what you were thinking of, Shane.
Oh, okay. So that's who I got mixed up. Okay, but
yeah, you mixed up with
So both Marty Bell and Jade are in there. So we've got, count them, 1, 2, 3. We've got four former Knockouts in WWE now.
Yeah, here we go. Candice LaRue or LeRae, notable for being Johnny Gargano's wife. That's who she is.
Not only that, but I've watched this lady's matches. Holy shit! She has taken more harder hits than most dudes.
Also, half of the world's cutest tag team with Joey Ryan.
Yes. You remember that. We talked about Maya Yim. Tessa Blanchard, of course, the daughter of Tully. Rachel Ellering's been in and out, and of course she's also doing Impact recently. She's undergoing a different name for this little classic, though. Rachel Evers. I mentioned the connection to that. She was trained by Lance Storm, which is his real last name, Evers.
Yet they still made sure to mention she's Paul Ellering's daughter.
Yes. Lady Tapa. We have Deonna Purrazzo. Then we got somebody who's very popular in the independent scene, Santana Garrett. You're familiar with her, Typho.
I am, yes. Seen lots and lots of her matches.
We have Renee Michelle. And as Shane mentioned, we have Marty Bell. I believe going under a different name, or is that her name in this? I'm not sure.
No, she's going into it. I will give you the spoilers once you finish the names.
We have Mercedes Martinez, Kaylee Ray, Aisha Raymond. We have Ray Ripley. And here comes another former Knockout, Sage Becker, who used to be Rosie Lotilev / Andrea. Famous for losing over 100 pounds in between, I think, a 5-year period. And we have a former Stardom competitor, goes by Sari Kane. Dakota Kai. Bianca Belair, I think that's what it is. And then we have a current NXT person who's undergoing a different name by the name of Vanessa Bourne.
Mm-hmm.
The former Kimberly Abby Lath. Jassy Gobert or something?
Gobert.
Multi-time Stardom champion. Reading the list here. Lacey Evans. And we have a great Kali Trini. I can't read that first word, but her last name's Devi or Davi.
Kavita Devi.
Thank you. Tainara Conti. Former Crazy Mary, who's in there, going by the name of Sarah Logan. Tony Storm, and we have a famous Lucha Libre star, Princess Sugget. And then we have another second-generation wrestler, Rena Gonzalez, who's the daughter of Rudy Boy. Zaya, Barbie Hayton. We talked about Bessler, and then we have Nicole Savoy. That's your 32. Jason's got spoilers. I'll be back.
Right. Okay. So. Okay. So Princess Sugahit defeated Kaylee Ray. Serena Deeb defeated Vanessa Bourne. Shayna Baszler defeated Zeta. I'm not surprised with Ronda Rousey in the house, right? Right, Typho? There.
No, Baszler also, by the way, is really, really good.
Yeah.
Piper I just Niven. Saw her this past weekend at Shimmer, and
we'll talk about that in a minute.
She's gotten a lot better just in the year that she's been wrestling.
Mm-hmm. And then Piper Niven defeated Santana Garrett. Okay. Then Maya Yim defeated in episode 2. We have Maya Yim versus Sarah Logan. who defeated her. Mercedes Martinez defeated Jali. Rhea Ripley defeated Miranda Salinas. Abby Leith defeated Jazzy Gabert. Tony Storm defeated in episode 3. Tony Storm defeated Aisha Raymond. Dakota Kai defeated Kavita Devi. Candice LeRae defeated Renee Michelle, and Rachel Evers defeated Marty Bell. So far.
Oh, good. The Australian got one up. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Think, the New Zealander won in there, too.
Yeah, so there's that. So who do you want to win this of the people, A, who are left, and B, you heard of?
Well, I'm biased. I would like an Australian to win. but if I'm being 100% honest, logically, who I'd like to win, I reckon one of the second or third generation stars, like, so either Tessa Blanchard or Rachel Evers. I reckon one of those two.
Yeah, they're gonna do something big. I just don't know what. I just don't know what yet. But let me ask you something. Ronda Rousey, we have seen a ton of her non MMA appearances. Do we see her in the WWE sooner rather than later?
God, some of us were hoping that she was like going to be announced as like a mystery participant in this whole freaking thing. That would have been shock of the year, but wasn't to be. Do I reckon she'll be part of WWE soon? There's been heaps of rumors that she's going to participate at either SummerSlam or WrestleMania, so see what happens.
I'm sure she'll do something eventually, like maybe a one-off match or some kind of mixed tag or so. I don't see her being like a full-time anything, but mm-hmm. I'm sure she'll do something.
I would love to. I mean, I would love to see it happen. So we move on to the SmackDown, because we've got a pay-per-view next week. God help us. You know, we got a pay-per-view pick'em show next week. So the new U.S. champion opens the show and wants to rebuild the U.S. Open Challenge. And guess who answers the Open Challenge? The man who created it, John Cena. And we were about to get another AJ Styles Cena classic, but Rusev comes out, attacks Cena, and then Owen comes out, and then we set up the main tag where Cena and Styles beats Rusev and Owens. I am loving the fact that we're having an old school flag match, no?
It's something at least to offset the return of the Punjabi prison.
You really don't like the Punjabi prison, do you?
Not at all.
Okay, Shane, well, Typho, question. If they had restructured the Punjabi prison like they did Elimination Chamber, would you be intrigued?
Probably, yeah. They did something with it, like other than the weird trap doors and like just the other. Well, there've only been two, right?
Yes, two.
Well, yeah, they've only done two. Like, let's face facts. These two men that are going into this Punjabi prison match are probably going to put on a more athletic Punjabi prison match than we've seen in the past, because the first one was Taker versus Big Show, which wasn't bad, but And then you had Batista versus Great Khali, which sucked. So you can't do any fucking worse.
And not having the Great Khali in the match is an upgrade.
Yeah. So on the women's side, we have, you know, we had a Naomi promo with Shane, and then on Battleground, we have a fact that we get a five-way elimination match, and the women's going to get a SummerSlam shot against Naomi, and of course, Carmella's petition to have Ellsworth in ripped up. Okay, not, you know. So, who do you think is going to get the shot? Who would you like to see get the shot? And who do you think is going to get the shot?
Who I'd like to see get the shot? Tamina, who I think's going to get the shot. I'm going to go out on a limb and say Becky Lynch.
You know, like another face, per se.
Well, it depends, because Becky could turn heel. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. But I have to ask, what do you think of this whole Tamina Lana thing?
I might be the only one at this table that's intrigued by it, but I find it intriguing. I just want to know what it's leading to. Like, is Tamina gonna train Lana to be like a badass, like Rusev and crush opponents, or is WWE going a more salty angle and making this like a weird lesbian affair type thing? I don't know.
And it gives Lana something to do. That's about it.
Look, if it gives Lana something to do and it takes her away from this god-awful, like, takes focus off this god-awful Lana Lena thing, friggin', yeah. I'm all for it.
Well, I mean, let's set up the Battleground card as we have it right now, because I can do this right now because of the fact that we have, this is going to come from Philly, and we've got six matches scheduled already. Okay. We have the Punjabi prison match, as we talked about, the flag match, which we talked about, the Usos versus New Day with a rematch for the titles. Okay. Finally, we're going to get Shinsuke Nakamura versus Baron Corbin yet again. Not yet again, because of the fact that they've been teasing each other for weeks, you know. And, of course, because, I mean, Owens is getting his rematch clause. Doesn't look like a bad card, does it?
No, it looks pretty decent overall so far. You can't go wrong with Styles Owens.
Mm-hmm. Shinsuke Nakamura and Baron Corbin could turn out to be a hard-hitting brawl type match, which I'd personally look forward to.
Flag match might be fun.
Well, Rusev and Cena have proven that you put them in a match together, they can make anything work.
Rusev and Cena was great stuff. They really did. You know, it's a rivalry that's been around for a bit. You know?
Yeah. Usos versus New Day, in my opinion, has the potential of being match of the night.
Well,
as for the Punjabi prison match, like Typho, I'm very skeptical with it.
But we also may have our kickoff match because Maria Kanellis and Mike Kanellis were looking for Sammy to get an apology for all the interruptions they have. And Sammy says, you know what? You should apologize to me. You've been interrupting my ass. And, of course, gets a sugar glass vase on the back of his head for troubles. Okay. I'm expecting that myself, don't you think?
Yeah. I don't know if that'll be the kickoff match or if it'll just be on the actual show. No, it's a SmackDown show, so they can't stick cruiserweights on there, so maybe.
No. Seems like the crazy. It sounds like it to me.
Kickoff show will be Mike Kanellis's debut match.
And also, sort of finally, which was the Runway Walker match, Runway Walker segment, which was the Fashion Police doing Walker Texas Ranger with Mojo Rawley and Zack Ryder in the way getting into their bromance, you know? You like that, don't you?
I enjoy the Fashion Files every week.
They are. They're awesome, by the way.
Yeah, but I personally think this is going to lead to either we're getting heel Zack Ryder or Mojo Rawley's just going to be like, screw the hype and just beating the shit out of people. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
It'll lead to Mojo bringing in his new tag team partner, Rob Gronkowski.
Ooh. I just call him Big John Studd 2.0. Battleground's definitely going to be an interesting pay-per-view. Do I think it's going to be as good as what we got with Raw's pay-per-view? Not really, no.
No, they got a lot to live up to from Great Balls of Fire. Which, yes, that was a real thing.
Yeah, but now you said you were, before we sort of go into sort of the, because I think we've, well, you know what, let's go back for a minute. Shane, I want to get some opinions on a couple of things that you weren't around for, before we get into some other things. First of all, what did you think of the Great Falls of Fire pay-per-view as we speak?
I watched all of it. I thought it was a brilliant pay-per-view. Lived up to everything. I'm still pissed that they're like sitting on the fence with friggin' Roman, especially after what he did at Great Balls of Fire. I'm like, you can't do that. Like, you can't have him acting like a face when he did some heelish shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
Iron Man match, God, that lived up to expectations. Those two teams put on a clinic. It was awesome to watch. The Alexa Bliss, Sasha Banks, saga that happened, it wasn't the way I wanted the match to end, but they did a great ending to it. Or was that on Raw that she gave her I don't want to be crude here, but puss to the face because she didn't hit her with knees.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Overall, like I said, main event. Wrong fucking decision.
So, who, first of all, did you see the Angle documentary? The Angle WWE 24 documentary.
No, I have not watched that yet. I was actually going to watch that this morning before I got busy. I did notice that, yeah, Dixie Carter does make a lovely little appearance in it and talks about Kurt.
Now, do you think that will lead into her coming out on having a working relationship with the WWE on Monday?
Possibly. I've seen some of the boards talking about this and some of the outlandish shit I've seen some of these guys talking about with this whole Kurt Angle thing. Oh my God, I'd lose my shit at either one. They've talked about either Dixie Carter or Stephanie McMahon coming out and saying that they had an affair with Kurt
and that Chad Gable was their love child. That's the way that how they get.
Oh, American God.
And that's the way how they get American Alpha over to Raw, because Chad Gable's the son, and that's the way how American Alpha gets into Team America.
Oh, God.
Who knew Chad Gable was 17 years old?
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Like we're all looking at that going, okay, by Chad's age and by Stephanie McMahon's age, you're practically saying that Kurt had sex with her when she was like 16, 15.
He's not like, Randy Savage.
Wait, you said that first. I didn't. Ah. But of the two women, because if you make it Dixie Carter, Typho had a very interesting point. Why or how? How does it make sense? How do you book that?
One drunken night after a divorce with his wife.
No. It was outside of that. Why do you put her on camera? In other words, that's what I'm just asking.
Oh, why? Vince has proven in the past he's a vindictive prick. Like he'll rub salt in the wound for anybody. So if Jeff Jarrett sees Dixie Carter come out on Raw, that's an ultimate slap in the face to him. In which case, it's also like a double-edged blade if you think of it, because if Dixie Carter comes out on Raw, yes, it helps a little bit, but it also damages WWE, and it'll, because Jeff will see that, Jeff will get pissed off, and it'll make him just want to fight for the broken gimmick even more, just to spite people.
Mm. Well, they also, for so long, they made such an effort to just act like TNA just doesn't exist or is a non-entity. So if you bring in Dixie Carter and do this whole thing, how do you explain who she is, why she's important, why you should care about her? And if you just act like they've been nothing, like this Kurt Angle documentary is like one of maybe two times they've referenced them, like the Sting one being the other.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's not like WCW where all the time they're talking about the competition. With TNA, they've just like they'll talk about Ring of Honor, talk about Japan, etc. TNA is just like, nah, what's that? We don't know what that is. Where was Ron Killings all those years? I don't know. He didn't exist.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing to the ring, Miss Dixie Levesque. And we call her Levesque.
That sounds so wrong.
AJ Styles, he was in Japan for over a decade, I think, right? He was just a New Japan guy.
Well, he was a New Japan guy. But he also was with TNA yes.
What's that? He was in Ring of Honor.
I
think you listeners see where we're getting at here.
Yeah, I do. But again, it is going to be very interesting. Now, Shane, I gotta ask. Bad news, Beeman. Talk about it, Alberto Page. Be her life coach.
Oh, sweet mother of God. This is a more shittier episode of So In the Days of Our Lives. I mean, it's ridiculous. Why, like, hey, Soraya, fuck it. I'm not going to say her character name because I'm just going to say it outright, and anyone that disagrees with me, by all means, contact the NAWC or whoever. But you'll all agree with me when you hear this. Soraya Bevis has Stockholm syndrome. She has textbook Stockholm syndrome, in which she's being abused. She's afraid to leave the relationship, so she is covering Del Rio's ass. Mm-hmm. The reason why I say this is because, as we all heard reports, apparently Del Rio and Paige once again got into an argument at a public airport. Now, the original story that came out was that Del Rio and Paige had an argument because Paige had heard some bad news about her uncle and heard some bad news about a family member. They didn't disclose who it was. And then apparently a fan came up and asked Paige for her autograph. Del Rio went to protect Paige, apparently, and the fan threw a drink at Del Rio. Well, this turns out not to be the case, because TMZ released a nice little audio clip of the fight that happened, in which you can clearly hear Paige telling Del Rio to fuck off, leave her alone, and say she's trying to get the hell away from him. And then you hear the fan say, when Del Rio's trying to chase her, saying, I think you should leave her alone, in which Paige had to do damage control.
In which she's come out and talked about the whole situation, said to stop internet rumors and that from getting around. She's said that her and Del Rio got into an argument because she found out some bad news about her uncle while she was at the bar. And Del Rio tried to comfort her, but she just was a little too sensitive. And they got into things, and apparently he said something to her that she wouldn't disclose, but it was very hurtful. So she threw a beer at him and stormed out. And then he's followed her around, in which case she still attacked this poor fan and said that the fan was acting like a complete psycho and wouldn't leave her and Del Rio alone. And everything else, and that's when the police were called and charges were placed against her, not Del Rio. Now, here's where I have a problem with this, because her own brother came out on Twitter and said that he was scared for his sister because she's with an abusive asshole. She was already with an abusive asshole named Brad Maddox when she was 18, who not only emotionally but physically abused her. And now he doesn't want to see history repeat itself. So looks like Paige is covering up for Del Rio. God knows why. Like, he either has something on her, or she's worried that with all his money and connections, he's going to get out of any abuse charge she puts on him. So, yeah, Paige is in a pretty dangerous situation, and looks like she's not really helping herself out here at all. And because of this whole situation, looks like Alberto Del Rio has been suspended indefinitely until the investigation is over.
And again, TNA has another political mess on their hands.
No, TNA doesn't have the political mess anymore. GFW
has the mess on their hands. Pardon me. So.
But yeah, in my personal opinion, Saraya needs to get the hell out of that relationship. Like, if it's that bad that she has to cover up, she has to try and hide what her brother says is, which her brother says is fact, and say she's the one that's abusing Del Rio. If I was Saraya's parent.
Well, yeah. But let me ask you this last question. Do you think we see Paige back on the air next week, anytime soon?
Hell no. Because... and that sucks for me to say. It really does suck for me to say. Because with this whole domestic violence issue now, WWE isn't going to touch her until everything gets cleared, until the air gets cleared. Vince McMahon nor Paul Levesque are going to fucking touch her. They're going to be like, nope, you're on your own.
Two other pieces of news that broke tonight. It has now been made official because it's now on TV. Gail Kim, that due to injuries, she is going to retire at the end of 2017. That was broadcast on Impact tonight, GFW Impact. So, good on her.
Spoiler alert, ladies and gentlemen, her career will come to an end exactly after Destination X.
Okay.
Because her last match is at Destination X.
Okay. And an actually good Hot Kids notice. Do you remember that awesome, and Carl, you can come up on this one. You remember that awesome commercial, Love Has No Labels, that John Cena released last year? The We Are America commercial?
Yeah, I use the audio of that for some shows on here.
Well, it's been nominated for a Primetime Emmy Award in the category of Outstanding Commercial.
Hmm.
And I think that's very cool, and I think that's one of the best things that Cena's ever done. Really good stuff. You can check it out on YouTube. Just Google Love Has No Labels. The name of the commercial is We Are America.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we will be back next week to talk about all more wrestling news, and we will have another Pick'em show with either VRM or Statboy Josh Henniger here. And, of course, Nikki will be back in the chair. But first, we need to talk about a lot of things. And, Carl, I need to start with you because next week football training camps start up.
Yeah, the question is whether I'll get my big fat ass in gear and actually get to drag on a podcast for it.
I know, exactly. But but again, football has been crazy. Typho, what have you got to promote?
Well, supposedly, it seems that I may be having a new podcast in the works sometime in the near future. Don't know when, but hopefully that'll be happening. I got some people who would like to utilize my talents, I guess, but we'll see about that. Otherwise, you can find me everywhere. I'm on Twitter at Tuesday Night Typho. You can find me on Facebook, Tyler Foster, and probably pretty much anywhere else. I'm all over the place. You can find me at wrestling shows everywhere. I was just in Chicago this past weekend, then back home to Dallas. I might pop up in Florida. You know, who knows?
Now, let me ask you something, Typho. Are you more of an announcer, a wrestler, a manager? What do you characterize yourself as? Because I see you all the time.
Well, I am currently, my main role right now is as an announcer for a couple of different indie promotions in Texas, mainly for IHWE in Fort Worth, Texas. We were supposed to have a show this Sunday, which has been postponed because of a building issue. But whenever that show does happen, it will actually be my first show as the lead play-by-play guy. I've been in a three-man announce team for a year and a half now, and we are going down to two on the next show, and I am the lead announcer now. But that show's not happening Sunday. But when it does happen, that will be my first day in my new role. So we'll see how that goes. Never called an entire show as, like, the guy before. So don't know how it'll work out, but hopefully well. We'll see.
Excellent, excellent. And, you know, congratulations on all your success on that. Really good stuff. Other shows we need to talk about. We just recorded another episode of We Loved to Interrupt, WLTI. And we also just had nominations for game shows and competition shows, actually, and game show hosts. Try this on for size. We'll talk about this more. The Emmy nominees for reality competition series are Project Runway, American Ninja Warrior, The Voice, Top Chef, Amazing Race, and RuPaul's Drag Race. Call, quick thoughts on that? Because I know you're a fan of some of them.
Yeah, I haven't really been following with that much lately, to be honest with you, Jay.
But I know also Drag Race and also the reality show host. Try this. RuPaul, Martha Stewart and Snoop Dogg, Gordon Ramsay, Alec Baldwin for Match Game. Not bad. Heidi Klum and Kim Gunn. And there's that. And then W. Kamau Bell for United States of America. However, I'm shocked that Michael Strahan wasn't there. We'll be talking more about Big Brother, America's Got Talent. We had a sad fact last episode where a very talented guy got killed in an automobile accident and his audition was shown. We will, of course, have a new episode of Pixel Nation. We recorded one late last week, So we moved. We just went into. We're going to do No One this coming weekend. Just trying to see if what else is going on. Of course, Red State, Blue State, all the other shows. Of course, here on special, and of course the panel with Gordon Pepper. all the shows here on Spectrum 1.net, Player.fm, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, iTunes, Overcast, Google Play Music, and everywhere and anywhere. So, I would like to thank... And Shane, are you out there still?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Just quickly, you have anything to promote?
No, I did want to welcome Sasha Banks to Australia, though, because she got a lot of love from Melbourne, from the Melbourne crowd, because they did a nice little... artistic memorial of her on the building. So now Sasha is plastered here in Melbourne.
Okay. And what, as I was about to say, was she here for anything other than to promote an Australia show or what?
No, she was, yeah, she was just here to promote the Australia show that's coming up in September. So
there you go. All right. For Shane Beeman, for Typho, for Carl Chenier. My name is Jason Block. Nikki Heyman will be back next. We'll be back next week, hopefully around the same time. We will be back here, and until then, we'll see you next week.
The preceding podcast has been a presentation of Spectrum One, online and on demand at SpectrumOne.net.